Today's shiur is Masechet Bamitzvah, Daf Kuf Aleph, and we will begin in Daf Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, on the top line. Shataf Noar Zeisav. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, at the end of yesterday's shiur, the Mishnah speaks about a situation where somebody has an aleph tree, which the wind came and uprooted and deposited in somebody else's field, and the owner of that aleph tree leaves that tree in his neighbor's field, and now olives grow. And the question is, who is the owner of those olives? Is the owner of the field of the owner of those olives? Or is the owner of the tree the owner of those olives? So our Mishnah says, Yachloiku, they should divide the olives. So in explaining the Mishnah, Om Ula Omer Ish Lokish, Loi Shanal Shnekr B'Gusheyem, the Mishnah that teaches us this din is referring to a situation that the tree was uprooted together with the earth around it. As we know, the halacha is that fruit that grows from a tree during its first 3 years is orla, and is obviously prohibited from being eaten. However, if somebody takes a tree with the earth around the tree and replants it from area 1 to area 2, that tree, if it's already over 3 years old, obviously, is not subject to the din of orla. The Rishonim say you have to have at least a tree that's 3 tefachim high. And our Gemara says our Gemara that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a case where the tree got uprooted together with the earth around it. And the Mishnah that teaches us, as we said, that the owner of the field and the owner of the tree share in the fruit, is referring to situation lachasholosh. After the first 3 years that this tree was deposited in my neighbor's field, albatalsholosh, during the first 3 years, hakoshabalazaisim, the owner of the field has no rights to the fruit of this tree. Domalei, because the owner of the tree, says the Gemara in this version, can successfully argue to the owner of the field, saying, "I'at natit b'toich shleish." If you would have come and planted a new tree, mitoich shalosh mehava aichlus, could you have eaten any of the produce during the first 3 years? Obviously not. It would have been orla, and therefore now you should only have a right to begin eating after 3 years. So the obvious question that Rishonim ask is yes. If he would have planted a tree during the first 3 years, for the first 3 years he couldn't have eaten anything. But now my tree came, and my tree doesn't have the orla problem. But still, why is my tree able to produce fruit? Because of his ground. So why are we ignoring his ground and saying that he should just be able to eat alone for the first 3 years? Explain to Rishonim, in explanation of the Gemara, that what he successfully argues back is, yes, you're helping the growth of this tree, even during the first 3 years. You know how you'll take your benefit for that? By dividing with me after the first 3 years. But during the first 3 years, according to this version, he says you're entitled to nothing. Ask the Gemara, the Reimele, so why can't the owner of the field say to him, if I would have planted a tree from scratch, yes, I couldn't have had any benefit from that tree for the first 3 years. However, after 3 years, I could eat the entire produce by myself. Hashta, now, why, you are going to get half of the produce forever. So shouldn't I get something for the first 3 years? So again, the Rishonim ask, how could we ignore the contribution of the tree? He's saying that after 3 years, I should be able to eat alone. I, the owner of the field, should be able to eat alone. Because if I would have planted a tree, by now I could eat it alone. But the reality is you didn't plant a tree. And the reality is that it's my tree that produced the fruit. And so why should you just ignore him? So the Rishonim answer, that the way to understand the Gemara is that, of course, the owner of the field will have to reimburse the owner of the tree for the value of the tree. It's not that he's going to tell him, after 3 years, I'm going to keep all the fruit and you get nothing. So that's what the Gemara is saying should be his argument. And therefore the Gemara reformulates how to understand the Mishnah. El Kiyasa Ravan Amar Resh Lakish. Lo Shana Elish Nekru B'Gusheyim U'B'Taych Shalish. The disagreement, the division between the owner of the tree and the owner of the field is only during the first 3 years. Avala Achashalish, after the 3 years, Hakul Balakarka. The owner of the property gets all of the fruit. Domele, as we just learned, because he could successfully argue, I anonati, if I would have planted it alone, Le'achashalish, if I would have planted a tree from scratch, now after 3 years, I would eat it by myself, and therefore you shouldn't get anything. Ask the Gemara, but why can't the owner of the tree argue back? If you would have planted during those 3 years, you would have nothing to eat during those 3 years. But now that it's my tree that doesn't have the all a problem with it, and therefore immediately you were able to get a share of produce, doesn't that give me a right to continue getting a share of the produce after the 3 years? Says the Gemara, that isn't a successful argument by the owner of the tree. Because the owner of the property could argue back, Bishum the Amalei, I anonati, I could have planted it, have a katina, v'zirana tachtuya, slika v'yarka. What's your argument, he says. Your entire argument is that because of your tree that doesn't have the oil problem because it was deposited with its earth around it, the owner of the field gets to eat immediately. And without that, you would have had to wait 3 years. It's not true. He wouldn't have to wait 3 years. Because what could he have done? What he could have done is he could have planted new trees. And indeed, he would have to wait the 3 years of arla. But when you plant a new tree, the saplings you take to plant a new tree are skinny, narrow saplings. And they not like a big, fat, old tree. So there's no, they leave room to plant vegetables in the field. So Mela, the owner of the field, could say, what's the whole basis of your claim? That because of your tree, I'm getting to eat immediately. I could have had a way of eating something immediately. I would have planted small saplings, left room for vegetables, and eaten for 3 years vegetables, and afterwards eaten grapes, and therefore, or olives. And therefore, you have no right to get a shear after the 3 years. Says the Gemara. Tana, Om halo, zese ani noitel. So, given the previous Gemara, this Gemara is very gishmak. So now the owner of the tree, who's only going to have a right to eat the produce of the tree for 3 years, and afterwards he's left with nothing, only as we said before, he'll get the value of the tree, but he doesn't get any more produce, says to the owner of the field, you know what? I'm taking my tree back. And of course the Rishonim say that the Gemara is referring to a situation after the tree took root. If the tree didn't take root, he certainly could take it back. Here it took root, and says, you know what? It isn't worth it to me. I'm taking my tree back to my property. Says the Gemara, ain't shaymalai. We don't let him get away for it. My tama, says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, mishum yishuv et Yisrael. And Pasha Pshat, yishuv et Yisrael, as we don't want to have trees uprooted. So I sort of Rishonim explained the Gemara in the following fashion. They actually ask a question. Why does the Gemara, and we're going to see that the Gemara says this is a chiddush, have to come up with the reason of mishum yishuv et Yisrael? We know the halacha is that if somebody uproots a tree that's giving fruit, it's the Isra Baal Tashchis. So why is the Gemara bringing in Yishuv Etz Yisrael? So Rishonim answer, Baal Tashchis isn't automatically. Why? Because I could always say, yes, I'm uprooting the tree, but I'm not going to leave it that way. I'm going to replant it. So there's no problem with Baal Tashchis. So now the Gemara came up with a new gzera of Yishuv Etz Yisrael. But now the question is, why is the Yishuv Etz Yisrael? If I'm going to replant the tree, so that Etz Yisrael is not being deprived, I'll have the tree elsewhere. So Rishonim give two answers. And the answers have enough gemina la'alocha. One answer they give is because you know how it is with people. I say I'm going to uproot the tree and replant it, but then when it comes to do it, you don't do it. And Chazal was so concerned, so Baal Tashchis there isn't, because when I uprooted the tree, since I uprooted it with the intention of replanting it, I don't have Baal Tashchis. But Chazal was so concerned about Yishuvat Yisrael that I may intend to do it, and then not actually do it, that Chazal said, no, leave it where it is. That's one pshat. Another pshat is loy plug. We have this concept many times. When Chazal say something, they don't start making qualifications. This, yes, this time we're not worried about Yishuvat Yisrael. This time we are worried about Yishuvat Yisrael. You can't pick it up. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim and the Rishonim? I saw there's a machlokes Rishonim. What would be the halacha where I have my tree deposited in your field? And I want to pick it up because I don't want to have to lose out after 3 years. And you say, you know what? Take your tree. Gesunta hate. What would be the halacha? The Gemara says, ain't shayman loy. When is the Gemara talking about? Is the Gemara speaking about a case where you are disagreeing, or even if you're agreeing? If we say, pshat is that it's a gzeiris chazal, you can't pick up the tree. So it doesn't make a difference if you agree or don't. Chazal say, I can't take the tree. But if the entire concern is that, like we said, because we're worried that you may replant it, but if you don't care, and I don't care, could be that I would be allowed to take it. So again, if I say I want to take my olive tree with me, ain't shaymin loy. We don't allow him. My tama, Amr Rav Yochanan, Mishum Yishvet Yisrael. Amr Rav Yochanan, Dot Tzarech Rabba. To come up with this reason, that the reason is because of Yishvet Yisrael, you have to be a great individual. And the Gemara now, because we spoke about the importance of Yishvet Yisrael, quotes another Gemara that uses this concept in Halacha. Tanan Hossam. There's a Mishnah Masecht Demai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamakabel Sod of Avoisim and Anachri. If somebody assumes the arisus, and I'll explain this in a moment, of a field that was in a field from a goy in Eretz Yisrael, the Halacha is Maisav and Oisim. So just to familiarize ourselves, and these terms are going to be very important in Mitzvah Shem for the next parak, typically when somebody rented a field or assumed the responsibility of working on a field, there were two types of arrangements. One is called the chakirus, and one is called an arisus. Chakirus is a tenant farmer, to be accurate, which means that I agree to pay a certain amount of produce as my rent. Typically, the produce will be paid, the produce that would be paid would be the produce produced by that field. But let's say the field doesn't produce produce, I still have to get produce from elsewhere to pay my rent. A rhesus is a sharecropper, that we have an arrangement that you, the owner of the field, will get a certain share of the produce, and I'll get a certain share. The Gemara here is referring, the Mishnah there, is referring to Hamakabel to an Oris. And says the Mishnah again, Hamakabel stay avoisim in Anachri. If somebody becomes the Oris in such a field from a goy, the Loch is Meiser in Oisunloi. Not only does he have to take Meiser from the shear that he keeps, obviously, but he even has to take Meiser from the shear that the goy is going to get. Explains the Gemara why. Savru, Meiser de avoisim. What does the Mishnah mean when it uses the word stay avoisov? It means anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Why is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael for my call a stay avoisov? Why is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael called stay avoisov? Shestay Avram Yitzvah Yaakov. Because all of Eretz Yisrael we have as an inheritance from Avram Yitzvah Yaakov. Vikasover, and the Gemara now continues to say that the explanation of that Mishnah is the Ein Kinyan Nachri Eretz Yisrael, a goy doesn't have ownership in Eretz Yisrael of property, lafki miyad maiser. Even though a goy has ownership, it doesn't change that maisers have to be taken. Or makabel to chay kedami. And there's no difference between an oris and a choker. Ma choker, just like a person who's a tenant. Bein ovet, bein loy ovet. Doesn't make a difference, as I said a moment ago. If the field that he's a tenant on produces or doesn't produce, he has to give a certain amount of produce as rent, and whatever produce he gives as rent, prior to giving it, boy, asuri, umetanlay, he has to take off meiser. Because you can't use produce that didn't have the trumas and maisus removed from it to pay your rent. Because that would be a situation, says the Gemara. The kipari chavoyis of dami. You can't pay up your debts with tevel, says the Gemara. Af makabel nami. The same thing should be that if a Jew is an oris on a piece of property that a goy owns in Eretz Yisrael, since a goy is mechuyiv, also in Trumas and Maisos, according to this Gemara, kipari chavoyis of dami, if he would take and not give Maisid, properly Maisid produce to pay his share, it would be a situation, Kipari Chavos of Dami, it would be as if he's paying off his debts with Tevel, and therefore the Alok is Maisid Nice Loy. Before he takes it off, he has to take off the Maisid. And the Achroinim, the Paiskim, make two observations based on this Gemara that are relevant for Zman Hazeh. The Gemara at this point is learning the Yesh Kinyan La'akum Be'etz Yisrael, that En Kinyan Be'akum Be'etz Yisrael L'afgibedei Maisers, that even if a non-Jew owns a piece of property in Israel, Trumas and Maisers have to be removed. And therefore, I, the Jew, who am his sharecropper, have to take off the Maiser on his behalf. So from here we see that I could take off Maiser on behalf of someone else, even without his authorization. The guy never asked this person to take off the Maiser, yet the Gemara is saying he should do it on his behalf. And the question comes up, says the Chazon Ish. Let's say nowadays people buy produce in Eretz Yisrael from farmers that unfortunately are not makbid in Trumas and Maisris. And I take off the Trumas and Maisris, but he never authorized me to do it. From here we see we don't need explicit authorization. Although the Meches Yitzchak says, it's not Dafka Raya, because Trumas and Maisris Manazer is only the Rabbonim. But then there's another point. We know, I think we've discussed this previously. There's a famous dispute, it's known as the disagreement between Yerushalayim and Bnei Barak, regarding produce that's grown on fields that are truly owned by non-Jews in the Shemitah year. It's really machlokes of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef says Shemitah doesn't apply to it. The Mabit says, yes, those fruits have Kedusha Shvius. Ask them, Achroinim, if we say that Ein kinyan la'akum, lafkim edei meiser, and an akum's ownership doesn't change the rules, so how could the Beis Yosef say that the guy owning the property makes it exempt from hilchas meiser? Explains the Michas Yitzchak. Even if we follow the concept of ein kinyan la'akum, lafkim edei meiser, that's only if I take on the property before the fruit is finished. But certainly, if the guy worked on the property and finished and worked on it and the produce was finished, and then I only come to take it, even if we normally hold Ein Kinyan L'Akum L'Fkibedei Maiser, that's too late and there's no Chiva Maiser. Ask the Gemara, is that the way to understand that Mishnah? Om Leilav Kana L'Rapapi, Vom Leilav Rav Zvid, L'Hoda Tanya, there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMakabel Soda, Avayisim Meit Tzit Nochri, if somebody becomes the Oris in a field that the Goyim took away by force, there Aroch is Maisa V'Noisim Loi. That whatever I give them, I have to take off Maisa. Ask the Gemara, if the word here is that Ein Kinyan Hakum Lafkim Edei Maisa, and that's why I have to take off the Maisa before I give it back to him, so what's the difference what type of Goy it is? Mayiri Meitzik. What's the difference if the guy took the field by force? I feel I made tziknami. I have the schiv. And therefore the Gemara reinterprets that Mishnah. El Oilam, we have to reinterpret the Mishnah. Yesh kinyan akri, Eretz Yisrael of Kiyim Edei Maisa. Whatever the guy owns is exempt from Trumas and Maisras. Furthermore, if I'm an Oris, I'm a sharecropper, my share is my share, his share is his share. And therefore, Makabal Lafka Chaykadami. He's now like a tenant. And therefore, whatever remains his share has no chiv and taking off maisers. So I was sorry, what does the Mishnah say that I have to take off maisers? Because explains the Gemara, when the Mishnah speaks about stay a voice of, or may stay a voice of, what does the Mishnah mean when it says stay a voice of? Stay a voice of mamish. This is a field that belonged to my family. And the guy took this field. Well, the day, who the Kansu Rabbanan, it's I who Chazal said that if I become a sharecropper in this field, I have to take off Trumas and Maisris. The Aida the Chaviva Leitfei, because I have a special affinity to this field, because it was a part of my family's inheritance, also makabala, I'll do it. Aval inish the alma, someone who's a stranger loy. Ask the Gemara, but what did I do wrong? Well, the day my kansura bonan, om rabbi yochanan, kadesh te bor biyodai. And we have a machlokes rishonim how to explain this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. If I am a sharecropper in a field, I get 50%, and the goyish owner gets 50%. But the halacha is that every fruit that I give him, every piece of produce I give him, I have to first take meiser. It's not a great deal. So what's going to happen? It's going to create a situation that I'm going to want to buy the field, not leave it in this type of a situation, which is exactly what Chazal wanted, that the field should come back to my hands, not remain by the goy. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. Another pshat in the Rishonim, very nice pshat, is as follows. Chazal knew that if a goy, if the halacha will be that the goy who takes a sharecropper for this field, the sharecropper not only will have to take trumas and maestros from his share, but will also have to take trumas and maestros from the goy's share, nobody's ever going to want to take that job. It's not a worthwhile job. And what's going to happen? The goy will never find anybody willing to work on the field. And what will happen? If he can't find any workers, he'll sell the field to a Jew. Yishuv Etz Yisrael wants us to do that. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yirmiya, Kegoyin Dotzer Charabba. This is why we need a Rebbe to teach us that there's a concept of Yishuv Etz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara along the same lines. Itmar, Hayoyer L'Toch Stei Chaveray. I go into your property, the nut, and I plant trees there, shloi brishos, without any rishos. Amarav, shamloi, we evaluate what I did, the yodal tachtoinai. Machlokes rishonim, what yodal tachtoinai means. One pshat is that we evaluate which is the lesser, the amount of investment or the value of the improvement, and whichever is less, that's what I'll get. Another pshat is that we know when it comes to workers, there's a range of salaries that workers for the same job get. We give him the lowest salary, the lowest wage for this type of job. The Shmuel Amar, Oindem kama adam rotz litim zula notay. We look how much a person would spend to plant such a field, and that's what this person who planted the field, albeit without permission, is entitled to get. Amar Papa. Says Rav Papa Vloy Pligi, there's really no machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Kam basua sui lita, if it's a field that's standing to be planted, you get as much as normally you're entitled to. Kam basadish en sui lita, you only get yodal tachtoin. Says the Gemara, v'hod Rav, this psak that we quoted from Rav, it's not that Rav said so explicitly, el machlol itma. We extrapolated so from a story that involved Rav. The Hudasal Kamig the Rav, there was an individual that came to Rav. Omalei, Zil Shumlei. This person planted a field without the owner's permission. And the Chlokas Rishonim, was it a field that's Oymelita or not Oymelita, or we don't know. Omalei, Lobina. And the owner of the field says, I had no interest in this field having trees planted in it. Omalei, so Rav said, if that's the case, it's a Suda Shaina Suyelita. And therefore, the Yodel Al Tachtoina. Amalei, Lebina, and he still was protesting. Why should I have to pay anything? Even Yodel Al Tachtoina. However, then, the Soif Chazya, then Rav saw that the owner of the field, who was protesting and saying, I don't need these trees, the Godra, made a fence around the field. The Kamatrin was very careful that nothing should happen to the tree. Amalei, so Rav told him, this act shows us the Lis Adaitach. The Nichlach, that you're very satisfied with this tree, and therefore it's not considered like a field that ain't a suyalita, but rather it's considered like a soda has suyalita, and therefore the halach is not the yodei al tachtoinai, just rather zil shomlei the yodei al oyoina. Similar gemara, itmar, hayoi l'toi chavosish chaver, you have a home that's broken, dilapidated, ubanish loi brishus, and I refurbish it without authorization. Vomlei, eight sivan vonani noitel. I want to take back my trees and my stone. Rav Nachman amashamaloi. Rav Nachman says, we listen to what he says. Rav Sheshis omer, Ain shemla, we don't. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? Meisav, Shimon Gamaliel Oimer, the Brisa says, b'shemra am shemla, that he could take back his materials. So according to this Brisa, Lema, will it turn out that Rav Nachman Damak B'Shamay, that Rav Nachman's opinion follows the opinion of B'Shamay? We know that we always follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, not the opinion of B'Shamay. And says the Gemara, Hu Damak Haytani. He had a different version of the Brisa. According to his version of the Brisa, the Tanya, Shemloi de Rav Shimon Lozer. According to this version, Rav Shimon ben Lozer says that everybody agrees that he could take back his material. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel who says that Beis Shammai and Shemloi, that only according to Beis Shammai he could take back his materials. Or Beis Shemloi and Shemloi. And we're following the opinion, he was following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that has, the Rav Shimon ben Lozer that has everybody saying they could take back his material. Ask the Gemara, my Havala, what indeed is the din? Amr of Yaakov, Amr of Yochanan. The bias, as far as a home is concerned, Shemloi, I could take back my material. The Sada, when it comes to field, ain't Shemloi, I can't take back the tree I planted. My son, the Sada, my Tama, why are we stricter with a field than with a home? Says the Gemara, Mishmi Yishuv Etz Yisrael. We're concerned, as we've been learning the entire Sugya, that Yishuv Etz Yisrael, trees, should not be uprooted in Etz Yisrael. Ikeda Amri, there's another reason. Mishum Kach Shdara. Whenever you uproot a tree, you're going to be weakening the ground. And that's why, buy a house which isn't growing from the ground, you can take back your material. Buy the field, which if you uproot the tree, you're actually going to be ruining the ground, we're stricter. My Benayu, what's the difference between these two pshatim? Ikeda Benayu Chutz Laretz. If the concern is Yishuv Etz Yisrael, obviously in Chutz Laretz we don't have a problem with Yishuv Etz Yisrael. But if the concern is Kach Shadara, that I shouldn't ruin your property, I'm not allowed to ruin your property, even in Chutz Laretz. Interesting to note that the Rishonim point out, when it comes to be concerned about Yishuv Etz Yisrael, there are really three categories. We're most concerned by trees, we're less concerned by houses, but we're more concerned by houses than we are by vegetables. And this will come out from the sugyas that we learn. Says the Mishnah. Hamas kabayis l'chaveri b'moysa g'shamim. Hamas kabayis l'chaveri, if I rent you a home, b'moysa g'shamim, during the winter, any yochal ha'tzim in chag v'pesach. I can't remove you from the property from sukkahs to Pesach. And a very important word of introduction is required before we begin the sugya. Actually going to be the number of sugyas. Here we're talking about tenants and landlords. 2 points. Certainly if there's a lease written between a tenant and a landlord, then the halacha is we follow what the lease says. Furthermore, if there's a specific minhag hamedina, or in our case, there's a specific laws that speak to landlord and tenant, then we follow those laws. Here, our Mishnah is referring to a case where there is no lease and there is no specific laws in place. So the Mishnah is saying, and again, the Gemara is going to explain what the Mishnah says. Hamas kabayis t'chaveroi, v'bayis t'gishom en yuchal etziyah, v'mechag v'ra Pesach, v'mayis t'chama, shloishim yoyim. Pasha p'shan the Mishnah, during the summer I have to give you 30 days notice. Ubekrochim, in the cities where it's harder to find an apartment, echad yomayis t'cham v'ra whether it's the summer or the winter, I have to give you Shnei Masa Chodesh, I have to give you 12 months notice. Uber Chanoyos, when it comes to a store, again, Echra Yoros Echad Krochim, makes no difference the size of the city, I have to give you Shnei Masa Chodesh, I have to give you 12 months. Why? Pash Pshat, as we'll see in the Gemara, that people extend credit, a storekeeper extend credit, and if I'm not going to be here, I won't be able to collect my bills. So I need 12 months. Ubechanuyas, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel's position is, Chanusha nachtoim v'shutzvoim, if it's a bakery or a dye keeper shop, shalashanim. And as we'll see in the Gemara uses the words, by these stores, there's a kefa meruba, and as machloik is showing what my kefa meruba means. One pshat is that a kefa meruba means that they give long-term credit, and therefore they need long-term to move. Or another upset is they have heavy equipment, and the bother and the expense of moving the equipment is difficult, and therefore we give them 3 years to move. Ask the Gemara. The The Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, distinguished between the winter and the summer. Ask the Gemara why. Ma'ishna yimaisu gishamim, says the Gemara, the ki oigi inish beisa v'maisu gishamim. If a person rents a home for the winter, if the lease says that I'm renting the home for the winter, it's ogil l'koy maisu gishamim. It meant that I could keep it the entire winter, and therefore you can't expel me in the middle of the winter. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then yimaisu gishamim nami. If the deal was that I'm renting the home for the summer, why shouldn't we say the ki oigi inish beisa, that if the deal was that I'm going to live there the summer, I should be allowed to stay the entire summer, and you shouldn't be able to make me leave in the middle of the summer. Ella, so the Gemara reinterprets the Mishnah. Why are we stricter in the winter? It's difficult to find a home in the winter. It's difficult. There aren't that many apartments. People don't like to move in the winter. It was very messy. They don't like to move. Ask the Gemara, if that's pshat in the Mishnah, let's continue learning the Mishnah. It's said in the Mishnah, the Krachim, if this apartment was in a city, Echad Yemais HaChamo, Vechad Yemais HaGisham, whether it's in the summer or the winter, Shnei Masachaytish. We give him 12 months. Vila Molei, Yemais Schiris B'Yemais HaGisham. And therefore, if the 12 months end in the middle of the winter, Mapiklei, you could expel him. Ask the Gemara, but if the concern is that you can't find other places in the middle of the winter, you can't find somewhere else to go. So why, even if it comes out in the middle of the winter, can you make me go? Amar of Yehuda, Laidik Tani. So the Gemara gives another pshat, the final pshat, in understanding the Mishnah, Laidia, which means as follows. If you rent a home to somebody else, without stipulating that I could expel you any time, any Pesach, you can't make me leave during the winter. Unless you gave me 30 days notice before the winter begins, which means from Tesvav Elul. The last date, if you want me to move during the winter, is you have to give me notice 30 days before the winter begins, which is Tesvav Elul. Tayinami Hachi, and says the Gemara, that's indeed the pshat in the Mishnah. K'sh'omu shloishim, k'sh'omu shnei masachodesh. When our Mishnah speaks about 30 days, our Mishnah speaks about 12 months. Loi amrei ella hidiyai. The Mishnah is teaching us that you have to give him 30 days notice. Ukshem, continues the Mishnah, shemask tzorich leidiyah. Just like the landlord has to give notice, kach soiche. The same halacha applies to the tenant. Tzarech leidia. You have to give him proper notice. Domele, because the landlord could say, I adason, had you properly notified me, have a terechna a mesivna bay in Ishmaelia, I would have found a good tenant. Amar of Nasi, says Rav Asi, im nichnas ein yoim echa v'moise gishamim, once one day, if we identify it as Tezvav Elul, as the cutoff date, once it's later than Tezvav Elul, it's too late to notify. Ask the Ritva, obviously, we say 30, it's 30. So answers the Ritva, the chiddush of the Gemara is that we would perhaps say the Rubik Kula, and therefore you don't need the whole 30. As long as you have the Rive of the 30, it's good enough. Mashmah, 30 means 30. Ask the Gemara, V'nan Shloshim Yoyim Kamar, didn't our Mishnah use the words Shloshim Yoyim? So how do we say this? Says the Gemara, Hachakomer, Im nichnas yamecha v'mayis gishomim mahani shloishim yoyim, if by giving you notification, the 30-day notification will end already after the winter begins, and a yoch lo yitzim minchag v'pesach, then you can't remove him anymore during the winter. Amar Rav Huna, v'mbo l'rabbis v'dameho marba. However, you could always raise the rent. Amar le Rav Nachman, haile nakte b'kufsei, Leglima, do you have a right to press a person? That the person is living in your apartment and you could come and raise his rent? Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha Daikabati. It's referring to a case where the prices of apartments went up And again, since as we said at the beginning of the sugya, we're not referring to a case where there's a firm lease. If there's a firm lease that says I have a lease for a certain amount of time at a certain amount of rent, certainly under no circumstances can the landlord raise the rent. Here we're talking when there is no lease. If the price goes up, then the landlord has a right to demand, since I have no lease, he can't expel me, but he can demand that I pay the higher rent. So I sort of shown him say, it goes the other way too. That the tenant, if the prices of apartments drop, and again, without a lease, the tenant could tell the landlord, I have to pay less, because we're using market value, and the market value, and there's no lease, dictates that I pay less. Another interesting shaila. The Gemara says, the Achronim discussed the shaila, the Gemara says that if the price of the leases go up, if the price of apartments go up, and we have no lease, you could raise my rent. Well, bit halacha, that the prices of real estate, the prices of rent, have pretty much stayed stable. But this particular apartment that I'm in, somebody approached the landlord, and he is very anxious. I'm not saying what he's doing is right, because I'm living there. But again, we're talking halacha lemaisa. He approaches the landlord, and he's so anxious to have this apartment that he's willing to pay extra rent. So now, can the landlord say to me, I could get more rent, so you have to match it? Or it's only one individual, it's not the market value. Interesting to note, the Paiskim say that as long as the landlord could get even one individual to pay higher rent, and there is no lease, as I keep on repeating, he could force me to pay higher rent. Says the Gemara. Pshita. Nafalei Beisa. Let's say the home of the landlord collapsed. He has nowhere to live. You know better than me. And therefore, I need to have where to live, and you have to leave your apartment. Although, I did see Paiskim suggest that this is, you can't keep on using this, you can't use this indiscriminately. And in fact, some Paiskim suggest that the landlord could tell the landlord, you have to tenant, you can make room for me, but you don't have to move. It's hard to know how to learn the Gemara. Furthermore, Zavne, or say, if somebody sold his house, or he died and was given away by Yerusha or Yavid Matana, he gave the house away as a gift. The tenant can say to the new owner, just like the original landlord couldn't expel me, neither can you. Let's say the landlord married off his son, and he needs the apartment for his son. Says the Gemara, Chazinin. If the landlord had ample opportunity to notify the tenant to look for a new apartment, and he didn't, he should have notified him. But if he didn't have the opportunity to notify him, then the halacha is leidif semenoi, and he says you have to leave. Ha'u gavra, says the Gemara. Interesting story. Ha'u gavra de zavin ab de chamra. Somebody bought a whole shipment of wine. And he didn't find anywhere where he could keep that wine, where he could wear it. So he said to a specific woman, do you have a warehouse where I could keep it? I have nowhere. Then he said he married her. And Yava, now that's a husband. So it's a whole different relationship. Yavle duchter l'ayle. So she gave him a warehouse where he could put his wine. Ozle beisei. Then this person who owned the wine went home. Kosev lo gita. He wrote a get to his wife. He only married her in order to get the warehouse. Kosev lo gita. Shadale. And sent her the get. So she was very upset. Ozle e agra. So she went. She took the wine, a fik deva svebishvile. She went and put the wine into the street. And he was very angry. How do you have a right to take my wine and leave it in the street? He got what he deserved. And certainly if it was a case, the chatz d'loy kaim l'agra, that the place she gave him where he could put his wine was a place that normally she would have never given up for rent. that's obvious that she only gave it to him because he married her, and now by her, him doing this to her, she's not entitled. Ela fila chutz de kaima la agra, even if it's a property that can be rented, amalei, she could successfully say, the kul alma nicha lach lagure, anybody else I'm agreeable to take as a tenant, fila chola nichle, but you I'm not agreeable to take as a tenant. Why? Tilarmus like ayabi. You treated me so unfairly. So Mefarshim, the Ritva, and Rama actually discuss a very interesting shaila. Let's say I have an apartment for rent, and I choose you to be my tenant because I like you, you're my friend. And then, after you're living in my apartment, we have a falling out, could I expel you? Says the Ritva, and the Rama passing this way, certainly not. Why? Because it's strictly in this Gemara where it's obvious that the entire reason she gave him the warehouse for the wine was because he married her, and now by him backing out of the marriage, sending her a get, does he have a right to say, you don't want to, I don't want you as my tenant. Here, yes, you're my friend, so I chose you. But I didn't say that the entire tenancy is connected to our friendship. But therefore, says the Rama, if when I rented you the apartment, I was explicit, and some people can say it has to be with a t'nai kafel, saying I'm only renting you the apartment because you're my friend, then the halach would be that indeed if we had a falling out, I can't expel you. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymishalachim Shalatzvoim, you have to give shalashan, you have to give 3 years notice. Tanam v'neshakei from Ruben, we explained this in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. If somebody rents a home to somebody else, the landlord has to pay for delos, for a door, these are types of locks and bolts, anything that requires a professional, something that you don't require a professional, the tenant does it, the manure in this property, we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shir, Shabbat Abayis, he's only entitled to the ash that comes out of the oven. Says the Gemara. If somebody rents an apartment to somebody else, maske the landlord, chayv lahamloi dalsois, has to put up the doors, leftoich loi chalonois, has to open the windows, lechazuk loi tikra, has to put up, make sure the beams are strong enough, lismach loi kar, the singling is strong enough, the soicher chayv lasloi suma. The soicher is the one that has to make a ladder to get up to the roof. The Rishonim say that if I rented the upper story of a house, then it's the landlord that has to make steps for me to get up to my apartment. Lasloi maka. The halach is that you have to make a fence around your roof. Lasloi maziv, to make the shutters. Or latich eskagoi, to put up fortify the roof, to put on tar. The Rishonim explain that actually the chiyuv of making the makkah, of making the fence, is on the landlord. But because Chazal was so concerned that every home should have this fence, otherwise it's a sakana, Chazal said that the tenant should make it. And we need to understand what this means. There's a very interesting Michas Chinuch. Michas Chinuch discusses what will happen where both the landlord and the tenant want to put the, not like neither wants, but rather both want to put it on. So the landlord says, I have a chiv deraisa. The tenant says, yeah, but the Gemara says that I should make the fence. And the question Michas Chinuch says is, we need to understand what does the Gemara mean. Does the Gemara mean that Chazal said that if the landlord doesn't do it, you, the tenant, should do it? Or that Chazal mean to take away the chiv from the landlord and put it on to the tenant? Continues the Gemara. Bo'aminei merav sheshes, mezuzah al mi. Who has to put up the mezuzah? Ask the Gemara, mezuzah? Hamram shashe, mezuzah chayves adarhi. The one that lives in the apartment has to put up the mezuzah. As the Rishonim explained, either because the mezuzah is for a shmira, so the person who lives there needs the shmira, or because the pasuk says, a mezuzah is beisecha derech biyoscha, the way you walk in. Who walks in? The tenant. El mok mezuzah al mi. To prepare the place where you put up the mezuzah. Omer sheshet nesua. Dover, shei mais omen. something that doesn't require professional, hasoicher say, the tainan does it. For hainami, preparing this place, lab maisa umenhu. Ask the Gemara, efshahu, because efshahu begush the kanya. That's referring to just putting up the mezuzah, you don't need professional. Actually, there's a very famous machloikis, Rashi in the Reino Tam. How should a mezuzah be put up? Rashi says the mezuzah should be put up standing, and the Reino Tam says it should be put in flat. That's why our minig is a compromise. We put it on a slant. So from here, point out the Rishonim. If it says that you have to put up the mezuzah, you have to prepare a place where to put up the mezuzah, so if you're putting up standing, it requires to do something. Putting it in flat, you just have to put it into the hole. So isn't this a riot to Rashi? So Rishonim explain that the Gemara means is to make the hole in the door where you're going to put the mezuzah.